Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Mark Halperin is our guest. He is a prize-winning author many times over. Notably, I encourage you to check out In Sunlight and In Shadow, A Soldier of the Great War, A City in Winter, and so many other terrific books, including nonfiction and books for children, an extraordinarily accomplished repertoire. And Mark, we were talking about the Muslim Brotherhood, and you were describing its tradition of militancy in the service of imposing Sharia and a caliphate. And yet we have this absolutely bizarre and rather fulsome penetration of our government as well as other civil society institutions by these so-called leaders of the Muslim community in the United States. What should we be thinking and doing about it?
Well, I mean, one thing we don't want is to go the way of Europe, in which this is the, if you look at it broadly, it is the most incredibly destabilizing thing in Europe. France, Germany, to some extent, England, the Scandinavian countries, Italy, they're all overwhelmed by this, the giant forced immigration, which was more like an invasion from the Middle East. Now, a lot of these people are genuine refugees, but if you look at the composition and you know just look at any news story videos of who's coming in, you see that about 80% of them are angry young men who are very aggressive.
Military age young men at that.
Yeah, exactly. And they look pretty fit, too. And so the question is, whom are they leaving behind? The women and the children? In the war zone, and okay, it's understandable that if you're a strong young man, you have the power to push on and go someplace and possibly make a new life. But these people feel entitled, and the Germans in particular have made them feel entitled. The Germans made the decision to take them in because of the German demographic crisis. Maybe Angela Merkel, also being the daughter of a pastor, felt this kind of liberal moral obligation to help these people. But I don't think that's the main thing. She's the Chancellor of Germany, and she knows what she's doing. They have a terrible demographic crisis. They won't be able to support their aging population. So she brought them in just the way the Germans brought in the Turks, just the way the French brought in the Algerians, for labor and to solve their demographic problem. And this was a huge mistake because it destabilizes Europe such as nothing since we've seen since World War II. And it is a beachhead. I read the French press almost religiously, and it is just absolutely frightening what's going on in France. It also invites the rise of the old right in Europe. And the rise also, you can't discount the rise of the old left either. So Europe is becoming totally destabilized. It's the last thing that we want.
Mark, I do want to just say, in light of all of these challenges, we've talked about the nuclear threats. We've talked about what the Russians are up to doctrinally and otherwise. We've talked about what China has in mind, particularly as it experiences difficulties at home. We've talked now about the jihad and its various manifestations. This is clearly a time when the American people must be mindful of these security threats. If you were to lay out for the debaters tonight the question of what America should do about all this, could you be as precise as possible, briefly, but as precise as possible about what your prognosis would be and what we should, in fact, now be debating?
The first thing that I would do would be to turn to the American people and say, look, we have so many problems in across the spectrum, and we are passionate about them. And we're such a huge country which has always been protected by the seas that we tend to look inwardly. But we, in fact, if we lose our military power, the power to deter, the power to keep peace in the world, the power to attract allies, and specifically the nuclear power, in which case we would be able to deter a nuclear blackmail or first strike or control of our fate by powers that are stronger in a nuclear sense. If we lose this, all the problems that we have, economic, social, constitutional, et cetera, will be irrelevant, because we will find ourselves in the position of a country that has to dance to the tune of other countries, or a one specific country in the future that will be able to force its will upon us. And this is something that Americans find hard to understand, because we've seldom been in this situation. The last time really was the War of 1812. I guess Pearl Harbor reminded us a possibility of it, but we have to keep an eye on what's happening in the world, the hard power in the world, and we have to keep our hard power up, otherwise we will suffer, and we mustn't neglect it in favor of the problems that affect us immediately right now. All of that will go away and be flushed away as if in a big storm if, in fact, we face an enemy that is beating us in a military sense in a war someplace where we're going to be really, really brought down many, many notches.
Alternatively, if we find ourselves confronting a superiority on the ground, in the air, at sea, in space, in cyber, that is so crippling that it has the effect of compelling our submission. And I think this is another part of this that, again, it's so foreign to our experience, which has largely been informed, particularly, as you know, Mark Halperin, of late, by this notion that we're the world's only superpower, that to the extent that people have paid any attention to all of this at all, they've been, I think, lulled into a false sense of security. So in closing, we've got, as you say, a world of challenges. We've got a trend line of growing aggressiveness on the part of various adversaries who've been emboldened and to some extent even empowered by us. Is it too late?
It's not at all too late for us to make the course corrections, because of the size of our economy, our experience, our what's left of our military infrastructure, which has been consolidated into too few military contractors. But no, it's not too late at all, given our resources, given our per capita GNP, given our technology, et cetera. Not late at all. The question is, will we? Do we have the will? And that might be the problem.
Do we have the will, and ultimately, will we have the leadership to exercise that will? Mark, in the remaining last minute, can I ask you about one, in a way, it seems to me a sort of microcosm of what we've been doing. There is this initiative that the president is determined to pursue as soon as, I guess, next weekend, that is to relinquish the last bit of control the United States has exercised over the internet. Do you have any thoughts on the advisability of that, and whether it, in fact, is sort of symptomatic of where we find ourselves today and the kind of course correction that's needed?
It is symptomatic, and there is absolutely no good reason why we should hand over any kind of control to countries that are dictatorships, that don't have freedom of speech, then that didn't invent the internet and are not the seed of it, as we are.
And have sought for a long time to exercise control over it in ways that would be harmful to freedom and freedom of speech, among things.
It's surrender is what it is, and for no good reason.
This is, I think, one of the other things that needs to be debated tonight, and I hope that will be the case. Mark Halperin, thank you so much for your insights, for the incredible contribution you've made to the culture and the national debates over many years. I look forward to these conversations in the future, but particularly appreciate this very timely one with you today. Keep up the good work, my friend. Come back to us soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.